Studs Terkel's latest book is titled Will the Circle Be Unbroken? A Reflection on Death, Rebirth, and Hunger for a Faith. It's a personal offering, one that finds hope in death. Terkel has written 11 books on America. Oral history, really. His latest was a long time coming.
Gore Vidal was passing through. I had a radio show in Chicago for many years over WFMT, classical music station. I was its one aberration. It was an eclectic program, and Vidal would pass through several times. And one day at the bar, after an interview, he says, "Ever thought about doing a book about people's thoughts on death?" So I stared at my martini, and all I see was an olive, you know. I couldn't make that out then. But then years later, it hits me. Every one of the books has been about experiences people have had. So what's it like? These are all experiences people have had. What's the one experience none of us have had, but all of us will have? Well, that's a challenge. So how could I not take it?
You can't interview the experts.
No, there are no experts, are no bookmakers to make bets on it. And I'm 89, that's true. And the people ask you, who would want to live to be 90? Well, everybody was 89, naturally. And you know, I find out, Bob, that it's the most alive book I've ever put forth, I think. But frankly, it's about, shall we mention it, L-I-F-E. It's about life.
People got excited talking to you about the subject.
It was that crazy to talk about it. All the years we're told, oh, let's not talk about bad. Remember in the old days, somebody would say, we don't discuss politics or religion, meaning, of course, we don't discuss life, or we don't discuss sex, or we don't discuss death. People want to talk about it once you open the gates, that life is finite, and therefore, it being finite, it's precious.
People who are religious don't fear it as much.
Well, it's a combination. Some do, some don't, some fear. But they do get a solace that someone like me does not get. I am what? I am an agnostic. You know what an agnostic is? A cowardly atheist. One who wants to cover all the bases. I know it's inevitable. I know it's near me. I know that. Someone says, do you believe in immortality? I say, yes, I do. For example, a guy stopped me one day on the Michigan Avenue Bridge. He'd read Working. And it was a profile of a waitress. And he said, having read that book, I'll never again talk the way I did to a waitress because of that woman, Dolores Dante. Well, I said, that's fantastic. That means I've touched him. So he'll live far longer than I do. He was about 50 years younger than me. So if I'm dead, he's around with a little touch. And he might touch someone else. So that's immortality, I think.
You open the book with two brothers who were police officers in New York. One left the force to become a firefighter
and a police officer. Yeah. They're Tom and Bob Gates. How can I describe them? The reason they opened, they were the heroes to the heroes of Working. They closed. They're so powerful. They and their father, Harold, they were still working. One as a firefighter and the other as a cop, doing special duty. It's called emergency squad stuff for floaters and jumpers. And so Bobby Gates, who's now retired, says, if I tell you about the World Trade Center job, I was a crazy, nutty kid on a ledge, 110 stories up, on a window washer's ledge, 4 inches. And he's going to threaten to jump off because he's a Jewish kid. He's a Jew who's killed Christ, and he wants them all to reform and become Christian. And he says, I got to rescue this nutty kid. And they swing him back and forth on something called a Morrissey belt, his colleagues. It's like a giant safety pin. And he's swinging back, and he hollers to the kid, hey, suppose Jesus got 5 to 10. There wouldn't be any Catholics, would there? And the kid says, oh, from the ledge, I want to talk to you. That's an interesting question. And so next time I swing over to him, I give him a cigarette, and I give him a bear hug, and I grab him, and we're swinging way up. One move by that kid, and we're dead. We'll be strangled or fall. But as I swing with him, I look down below. The little toys, people, the sky is blue. Life is so fantastic. So that's how the book opens.
Well, they spent their careers dealing with death, and now death comes in just a big bunch to them.
The more vulnerable, horrendous event, maybe possibly the more human, I don't know. The subject, even before the events of September 11th, remember I started working on this a couple of years ago, people want to talk. So I thought of Emmett Till's mother. Emmett Till is a 14-year-old little kid in Chicago. And he goes to visit his cousins in Mississippi in 1955 in a general store buying bubble gum. And he says, see the white woman in there? Oh, she's good looking. Yeah! And his husband hears that and his brother-in-law. And they kill him. So the mother wants to see her son. And so Sammy Rayner, the Black Undertaker, whom I know, says, "Mrs. Mobley, you don't want to see your son." "Yes, I do. I don't know what's in that casket." And they break it open, and she sees her son. Eye here, a leg here. She's, "The scars." "And then I saw the stigmata of Jesus in my son. And I saw his scars in Emmett. And then if Jesus died for our sins, what did Emmett die for?" Everybody is possessed by the idea, not morbidly, but we know it's inevitable.
Were you surprised by any of their reactions? You had an undertaker, you had clergymen, you had doctors, health workers.
They're fantastic. They were the ones who urged me, by the way, the doctors, my cardiologist. We know of Jessica Mitford's book, and it was justified, of course, about the exploitative...
American Way of Dying.
Yeah, about the exploitive undertakers. But the great many are hardworking. An undertaker in Chicago, Bill Hertigan, he's a regular Chicagoan, talk Chicago talk. Family undertakers for years. He says he's the first one, by the way, to take on AIDS patients. Mm-hmm. The first one. His men are human beings, he says. But what I do, I take care of everyone, if they're penniless or not. A guy sent me a whole bunch of tuxedos out of style, so I bury them all in tuxedos. My people always go out first class. So that's him talking. But the doctor said, all these doctors say to me, even Shep Newland of Yale wrote that book, "I've got to do this book." You see, we only think about death generally is when someone dear is in a coma or out of it, or you are, and it's out of grief, out of guilt. But we got to talk about one of the flower of health, because that makes life all the more priceless, and we know it's going to end. And so they said, "You've got to do it," and that's more or less how it came to be.
You had just begun this book when your wife died.
Yeah. About 3-4 months before she died, I'd begun it. 60 years, people say, "Well, you know, 60 years, she's great." That doesn't cut it, you see, because...
They want you to feel good about having 60 years.
Yeah,
try to
great,
cheer
except
you
that doesn't cut the mustard.
It doesn't cheer
the
you up.
The fact is, I saw that girl in the maroon smock back in 1938, social worker. Oh, she's aristocrat, $125 a month. And so that happened. That added, I suppose, a note of something to the book, I suppose. A note of urgency, perhaps. But I think it may have been great therapy for me, too. Like a palliative, you know. And that's what it's about, really. It's about life. But the big thing is not facing it, but recognizing the fact that it's our last adventure. I'm keeping going, you know. Do I retire? Well, of course not. This is my work. This is my job. And so I'm working a book now on hope. You see, I may not finish the damn thing, but I got to work on it, see. We have a saying in Spanish, Esperanza muera al último, hope dies last. And I figure I'll use that as a good book. Now, I may not finish the damn book, quite frankly. The odds are, you know, slightly against it. However, I like the idea of doing it.
Pulitzer Prize-winning author Studs Terkel, now 89 years old. His new book is titled Will the Circle Be Unbroken? A Reflection on Death, Rebirth, and Hunger for a Faith. Though the book is finished, he continues to find inspiration for it in the most unlikely places. Could you take off your tag there? It's making noise.
Oh, my tag?
Yeah.
Is that making a noise?
We know who you are.
Okay, there it is. Visitors Pass,
yeah,
number 9.
We feel secure.
Expiration date. I hate that expiration date.
Just
well, I throw it away.
It's making
okay.
noise.
Okay. Now we're immortal.